This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
In today's society, we're seeing a severe regression into an environment of disdain toward those deemed other. We see people in the context of the ideas we've developed about those kind of people and jump to conclusions based on our own beliefs or ideological points of view. Our guest on today's This Week in America, Howard Ross, is a social justice advocate, author, and seminal thought leader on identifying and addressing unconscious bias. He's worked with hundreds of thousands of people from all walks of life and companies in 47 states and dozens of other countries on overcoming bias. He's the author of Everyday Bias, Identifying and Navigating Unconscious Judgment in Our Daily Lives. And he's our guest next on This Week in America.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now.
877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America, if you are human, you are biased. From this fundamental truth, diversity expert Howard Ross explores the biases we carry within us, and each of us carry it. In his newly revised bestseller, Everyday Bias, Identifying and Navigating Unconscious Judgments in Our Daily Lives, a wake-up call about where society is headed. Most people don't see themselves as biased towards people of different races or genders, yet virtually every area of modern life, disparities remain. Howard Ross, a lifelong social justice advocate and founding partner of the nationally recognized diversity consulting firm Cook Ross Incorporated, the author of several books, including Our Search for Belonging, The Need for Connection, How It's Tearing Our Culture Apart, we've discussed that on the program, and Reinventing Diversity, Transforming Organizational Community to Strengthen People, Purpose, and Performance, and the revised edition of his best-selling Everyday Bias, Identifying and Navigating Unconscious Bias in Our Daily Lives. Considered one of the world's seminal thought leaders on identifying and addressing unconscious bias, Howard Ross, back with us on This Week in America. Howard, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Rick. It's great to be with you again.
Been looking forward to talking about this book. So many relevant, I mean, it's like ripped from today's news when we're seeing everything going on out there as we as a society sort of examine our thinking, our philosophy. This originally was published, a bestseller in 2014. Why did you feel it was important to reissue the book now?
Well, it's interesting, Rick. You know, I mean, certain things happen in life just by happenstance. And when the book came out in 2014, it had obviously the publication date had been planned, you know, over a year in advance, of course, and the writing and the research done. And then it ended up coming out 1 month after Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson. And of course, since that time, we've gone through the 2016 election. You know, we've gone through all, we went through the Me Too movement. And now, of course, even since writing the revised version, now we're dealing with the racial unrest that's come as a result of the George Floyd murder. So, we see all of this, and it continues to come up to the surface how we try to understand it and learn to deal with it.
That's why the book is so important. Was important in 2014, important with what we've going on now. The book is Everyday Bias, Howard Ross, our guest. His website is howardjross.com. You'll find the book wherever books are sold. Amazon will have all of that on our website. If people think, okay, someone like Howard, he has it together. He studied this for years, decades he studied this. At the beginning of the book, you say, the more I studied unconscious bias, the more I found myself recognizing my own. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we would feel the same way. Talk about that feeling when you realized, I'm discovering feelings that I have.
Sure. I mean, you know, Rick, I think that one of the challenges is that we've sort of been led to believe that bias is inherently bad. And so anytime the notion of us having bias comes up, we get pretty defensive about it because most of us do not wake up in the morning wanting to suppress anybody or harm anybody. Right. It's we go about our business doing our daily lives. But the challenge is that we know now from studying the neurocognitive science that our minds are organized in a particular way. We might say it's part of our decision-making capability. You know, for example, if you walk across your kitchen floor, you don't think anything of it because floors have sustained you all of your life. But if you walked across the floor one time and you stepped on a panel and it collapsed and you went right through to the basement, the next time you walk across that floor, and probably for a while, you would be much more conscious of the floor. You'll pay more attention to it. You'll notice it. You will be a little bit more careful about it. Or if somebody's ever been burned by a stove, might be another great analogy. You know, it takes a long time before you approach that stove without being conscious of that and being aware of it. Well, this is the way our minds teach us to learn from our past experiences to plan for the future. And the same thing, of course, happens with people. When we see people, we immediately assess them based on what they remind us of from the past when we've experienced people like that. And when we have groups of people who've been subject to a lot of negative stereotyping, then those stereotypes that we've heard can be one of the major factors in determining how we assess that person in front of us.
You know, it's interesting. In the beginning of the book, you talk about an experience you had. You're speaking at a college. You've got a flight layover in Memphis. You're getting on a plane.
Yes.
You prejudge an individual, and I'm reading that thinking all the times I've done that in my lives where just, you know, the initial contact with that person, I formed all of these thoughts. Talk about that, because this really went a different direction, didn't it, once you talked to the gentleman?
Yeah, I was like you said, I was flying from Jackson, Mississippi to New York after doing some work with Jackson State University. And so we were in Memphis, and I get to my gate in time for the flight, and the flight announcer comes over with those words flyers hate to hear: ladies and gentlemen, there'll be a 45 minute delay.
Yes.
The words barely out of her mouth when a voice booms out from behind me: "You talking to us, lady?" And I turn around, and there's a guy behind me who I like to describe as Santa Claus with an attitude. You know, older white guy, big white beard, white hair,
yep,
overalls, flannel shirt, and a car magazine in his hand. So I kind of chuckled and had him pegged. And 45 minutes passes. We get on the plane. Lo and behold, he's sitting next to me. We did the nod, which flyers know what I'm talking about. And, you know, you just kind of acknowledge each other. Then we took off. And for the next couple hours, I was working on my computer. He was reading his magazine until it becomes time for the initial flight to descend. And this is the time when a pilot comes on and tells us to close computers and the like. And for people who fly regularly, or I should say used to fly regularly, given our current circumstances, we know that this is the time when airplane chat tends to start. And so I turned to him to say, "So what's taking you to New York?" And he says, "I've got a professional meeting." I'm thinking, you know, car dealership or something, you know. And I say, "What do you do?" He says, "I'm a radiologist." And then sitting there sort of embarrassed that after all these years of doing this work, I'm still stereotyping people. I got a sense of what kind of radiology. Then it gets really animated. He says, "Well, actually, I couldn't help but look at the deck that you were working on your computer." He says, "You might find this interesting. We're using functional magnetic resonating imagery to study the brain and see which parts of the brain respond when people interact with different kinds of people. In other words, here he's studying the thing that I'm the most interested in. And had I not pegged him as angry Santa the car mechanic and talked to him earlier, I probably would have saved myself 2 months of research on my book.
You know, it's interesting because that's the last thing you expected to be talking to Santa about on that flight was something that was so close to you. Howard Ross back with us on the program. The book is Everyday Bias, Identifying and Navigating Unconscious Judgments in Our Daily Lives. Let's just get real basic here for a second. When you're talking about bias, define bias for us.
Well, I think bias, like I said, is a fundamental decision-making mechanism of the brain. It's a way the brain very quickly decides preferences for us, whether right or wrong, good or bad, safe or unsafe. You know, all those distinctions, we have these binary distinctions in life, and it happens incredibly quickly. And anybody who's gone to a party doesn't know anybody at the party. You walk in the door, what do? You scan the room, and you quickly make a determination. Your brain does, because it's very largely unconscious. Who's the person who looks most comfortable for me to walk up to, who's likely to want to talk to me, who I'm likely to want to talk to? Well, if we actually had to do research for all of those decisions, we would crawl through life. We would not be able to have life happen because everything would be so slow. So instead, what we do is we make guesses based on previous experience. So if somebody looks friendly, if somebody looks like somebody who in our life in the past had been very friendly, our visceral system, our automatic, sort of coding system in unconscious to us, leans us towards that person. If we see somebody who looks like somebody who might have been threatening to us or reminds us of somebody who was unpleasant to us, we lean the other direction. And all of this makes really good rational sense if we think about it. The problem is, of course, it's not wholly accurate. As my good friend Sukhvinder Obi, who's a brain scientist in Canada, says, our brains are designed to be good enough most of the time. So we make these guesses based on those previous circumstances, but sometimes, as in the case when a police officer is confronted with a man who appears threatening to them and therefore pulls that trigger only to find out that there was nothing threatening about the person at all. In places like that, it could be tragic. In other circumstances, it can help us make determinations quick enough so that we can save our lives.
What's the real life impact? Businesses, organizations, politics, we've been focused on this and doing the right thing and trying to have more diversity in our thoughts for years, yet it seems like the results are inconsistent with our intentions. Why is that?
Well, I think that we've worked on the assumption, and this is not just in business or just in diversity, but I think in life in general, we've worked under the assumption that we're rational as human beings. And what we're now realizing, especially through the last 20, 25 years of research, is that we're more rationalizing than we are rational, that we generally make decisions based on those kind of visceral first impressions that we have, those emotional reactions that we have to people, and then we gather data to support those impressions. So from a business standpoint, we sit with a potential colleague who we're thinking of hiring, for example, and if they trigger that visceral positive reaction to us, we will listen waiting for the positive things that they have to share. And the same thing true in reverse, which is not always the best way to make decisions. And by the way, Rick, we do the same thing when we're electing presidents.
Well, that's interesting from a political standpoint, because we're really divided. I really cannot remember us being this divided. And I've been around for a long time and I've seen some ugly times. And boy, there's this dramatic division. Let's talk a little bit about that. The role of politics in all of this and the role of media. I'll put what they would call the fake media in one category, but social media in another. What's the role? First of all, on politics, tell me about that.
Well, I think it's true. And I think, first of all, what we have to recognize is that we don't elect our leaders like we think we do. This was a fundamental flaw in Secretary Clinton's campaign in 2016. If you remember, her saying over and over again, or her advertisement saying most qualified person ever to run for president. The only problem is we don't elect presidents based on qualifications. We elect them on how they make us feel. Yes. If you look at all of the elections, say, in the last 60 years, it's something like 2/3 of them, the least qualified candidate won. The question is, how do people make us feel for whatever reason? So I think that we have to realize that we need to be more thoughtful about how we make those determinations, because otherwise what happens is we're going with our gut without any real sense of what's in the best interest of the country, but more just, I like that person, therefore I'm going to vote for them.
Howard J. Ross, our guest on the program. His website is howardjross.com. His book is Everyday Bias, Identifying and Navigating the Unconscious Judgments in Our Daily Lives. The book's available at Amazon, the usual places where books are sold. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on and get information on the book. It feels different to most of us now with all of the publicity after George Floyd and the Black Lives Matters, and we see so many corporations coming forward with money, with promises, with pledges. Is that sort of a performative, as it's been called, on their part? Or do you really see maybe it's different? Does it feel different this time, like really understanding these issues?
Well, I agree with what you said earlier. I think that we are more separate than I certainly can ever remember. I think we would have to, and I don't mean this with hyperbole, I mean, I think we would have to acknowledge that we're in a cold civil war right now, and, you know, let's hope it stays cold. I think it's, you know, we're as divided, certainly, as we can ever remember. And you had asked about the media, and I think it should respond to that and to say the media definitely contributes to it, because, you know, it used to be when you and I were growing up, Rick, that we had three basic places we went for TV news, for example. We looked at ABC, NBC, and CBS, and that was it. And they were all basically homogenized news. Everybody got the same news, virtually. And, you know, it had newspapers that were a little more conservative and newspapers that were a little bit more liberal, or one of the particular news broadcasters might be slightly more liberal than another one or slightly more conservative, but the bandwidth was pretty narrow. Now, of course, if you watch something like Fox and I watch MSNBC, or, you know, if you read the New York Times and I read Breitbart, you know, we're getting not only completely different interpretations of the news, but completely different news. And so the challenge is that really puts us in a circumstance where the fundamental information we're making decisions on is different. And it's like we're living in worlds in which the sky is a different color.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about, and we hear this so often, you can do anything you put your mind to. And I'm thinking, yeah, in my world, you probably can, but I'm not sure in everybody else's world. Talk about that. Is that possible in the world we live in, that it's that simple? If you put your mind to something, you work hard enough, you can achieve it.
Well, I think this is one of the things that we've thought, that if we, you know, that consciously we could do whatever we want. And this is what we're, you know, really what I'm calling for people to think about in the book. I'm not saying that everybody's a bigot. I'm saying that bias is a fundamental part of the way our brains function. And even, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people who set their mind to losing weight, for example, and they have the hardest time doing it. They know everything that they need to do to lose weight. It's not that hard for most people. You eat less and you exercise more. But they can't do it because what they're not clear about are the unconscious drivers that are having them eat so much. You know, in my case, it was stress. You know, when I really learned about my relationship with stress and food, I was able to control my eating more. And so I was able to stop my pattern of gaining and losing and gaining and losing, which, you know, for the first 60 years of my life was sort of the standard pattern. And I think there are lots of different ways that we do that. The same thing is true in business. You know, we make decisions based on what we're comfortable with or what we're used to. Often we don't question those things. We don't stop and say, is this really what's best for me? Or is this just what I'm comfortable with and what I'm used to doing or what I have a bias towards? So what I'm really calling for people to do in the book is to turn inward and to look at, how do we make these decisions? How do we learn to be more thoughtful about those decisions and use the remarkable metacognitive ability that the brain does have to have those decisions be more aligned with our values? But a lot of organizations, so I don't think that we necessarily should judge based on what the organization's doing up front, but what they're doing behind the scenes.
The book is going to go a long way towards getting us in that direction. It's excellently done. It's such a pleasure to have Howard Ross back with us on the program. Howard J. Ross, author of the book, Everyday Bias, Identifying and Navigating Unconscious Judgments in Our Daily Lives. So much in the book, so many stories, so many tools that we can use to try to navigate through this. I think this is an opportune time for all of us to reevaluate and to go forward together. I don't know whether we'll take advantage of it or not, but I hope so. And Howard, you're certainly doing your part in getting us thinking about it, if nothing else. Always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Rick, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Howard Ross, our guest. The book is Everyday Bias. You'll find it at his website, howardjross.com, Amazon, the usual places. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt. Call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now.
877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt. Call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now.
877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. 877-360-0430. That's 877-360-0430.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Dr. David Geyer, orthopedic surgeon, sports medicine specialist, and author of That's Gotta Hurt, providing education and commentary on sports and exercise injury, injury treatments, and prevention for athletes and active people so you can stay healthy and perform your best. His excellent website, drdavidgeyer.com, is a destination to get answers, to get better. Sports medicine simplified at the website. He's back with us on today's program. Dr. Geyer, great to have you back. Always great information. Great to have you with us on the program once again.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Yeah, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. We're talking about youth sports and concussions, head injuries, that type of thing. And we focused on football. When you mention concussions, you think immediately of football. Let's talk about concussions occurring in sports other than football. And then I want to talk about females. I've read studies where it takes females a little longer to recover. First of all, let's get into concussions in other sports other than football. And you do have an excellent podcast at your website, drdavidgeyer.com, where you talk about PE classes, which is something maybe we overlook in thinking about concussions.
Yeah, I think it's such a great point because the media, rightly or wrongly, really does bring this issue up as it pertains to football, and we hear about them watching football on TV as football fans, but it is very common in other sports. It's not more common. Football is number one in the rates of concussion in any study that you'll ever read, but they're very high in sports like soccer, sports like basketball, lacrosse, wrestling. They certainly can in other sports, and we need to be aware of that and take the same prevention strategies, the same messages that we've talked about before, about letting people know that you're having symptoms, getting it checked out, and not coming back too soon. That's important for soccer, basketball, wrestling, lacrosse, and other sports, just as much as it is for football players.
Information available at the website, drdavidgeyer.com. That's G-E-I-E-R.com. Injuries, recovery, prevention, a wealth of information there. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and log on directly to Dr. Geyer's website. I mentioned about female athletes. Do female athletes take longer to recover?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the more surprising things we've learned about with concussion research over the years is that there's some difference between male and female athletes that we can't really explain. But we know that female athletes that play the same sport that involves the same rules and same equipment. So this is not like baseball versus softball. I'm talking like soccer. You've got the same rules, the same equipment. Sport like basketball where the rules are the same, the equipment's the same. In both of those sports and others in that category, the female athletes have higher rates of concussion in terms of overall numbers. They have longer duration, so the concussion lasts longer, and they're more likely to recur. All very worrisome trends for parents of young female athletes.
You'll find more information on that specific topic in a podcast at drdavidgeier.com. It's interesting, all the rule changes that we've gone through, sports, in all of sports, in football in particular, and techniques as well. And let's talk about that, if we're making significant progress because of that. I'm talking football, soccer has made some changes, certainly changes in techniques in soccer, as well as tackling techniques in football. Are we moving in the right direction?
Well, I think we have to do this. I mean, it would be wrong of us to know that some of the things lead to higher rates of concussion and just ignore it. So I think we have to make these rules changes. I think they're generally beneficial. And I know football fans, especially with things like the targeting rules and things like that, have certainly been critical. But I think that when you see that a particular play, that there's something about a sport that we know leads to increased rates of injuries, and this is true for injuries other than concussions, we've got to do what we can to make the sport safer because we need the athletes to be able to play longer into their careers, and for our younger athletes, we need them to be able to have healthy lives, be able to go to school with no trouble and have no ramifications health-wise down the road. So we've got to make changes where we can, but it's going to continue to evolve as we learn more.
I think you've got a podcast that talks about this, and it's an interesting point that you make. We're so focused on concussions. Do we miss other sports injuries that could be, in their own way, just as damaging?
And that, you're absolutely right. And that's been one of the criticisms among the athletes, especially at the NFL level, about some of these rules changes. If we make all these changes to prevent head injuries, which may or may not have, oh, they do have really good intentions, but may or may not be particularly effective, but it changes how athletes play and then potentially leads to more knee injuries and you know, lower body injuries. So maybe you don't have issues with your brain down the road, but now all of a sudden you have bad arthritis when you're 35 or 40 and you're limping and have trouble playing with your kids. So it's a really tricky balance. And you know, again, we need to focus on the health of the athlete, but you're right, we need to focus on the health of the entire athlete and maybe not just the brain.
Couple minutes left in the program. Is there a correlation between an athlete reporting symptoms, in this case I'll talk about concussions, but basically any injury, and returning quicker? If they're able to report it sooner, do they get back on the field quicker?
It is. I would probably phrase it a little differently. We know that the sooner you start the treatment and avoid some of the things that could potentially make it worse, you're going to get better. I think the challenge is if you try to play through ankle injuries, knee injuries, even if it's not structural damage, you risk making it either causing structural damage, or you just cause more pain that takes longer to get better.
Dr. David Geyer has been our guest on the program. You'll find all this information and much, much more at the website drdavidgeier.com, G-E-I-E-R.com. You can look on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And information as well on Dr. Geyer's book, That's Gotta Hurt, The Injuries That Changed Sports Forever. Number of programs with Dr. Geyer. You will find them by going to our website. Go to the podcast and you'll pull up those programs. And you can get, again, further information at Dr. David Geyer's website. Doctor, it's a pleasure. Look forward to having you back on the program. Thank you for sharing all this information with us again.
Oh, always glad to do it. I love your show, and thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for sharing all the information. You'll find, once again, all the information at Dr. Geyer's website, drdavidgeyer.com, and link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.